Good evening. Let us pick up again in chapter number 6, which talks about important principles for effective prophesying. Now, it's going to be very important for this session that you listen intensively, focus, because there's some things that's going to be said here in this class that we rarely experience in our churches. But because of the apostolic and the prophetic, God will also restore to the church the fullness of the gifts of the Spirit. Those 9 manifestations of the Spirit, the 3 revelational gifts, which is the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits, the 3 speaking gifts, which is prophecy, diverse kinds of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues, and the 3 power gifts, which is special faith, the gifts of healings, and the working of miracles. Now, those 9 manifestations of the Spirit are listed for us in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. And in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, it goes on to say, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to everyone to profit withal. You listening? The manifestation of who? The Spirit, not the manifestation of us. It's the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, watch this, through the believer. Remember, there are gifts of the Holy Spirit. They're administrations. Those gifts are administered by the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there's what? Operations. You listening? The operation is the inner working of the Father within us. Then the 9 manifestations of the Spirit flows in conjunction with the fruit of the Spirit. Love, peace, joy, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, faith, meekness, and temperance. It's not good to think that you could function in the gifts without exercising the fruit. You listening? The fruit of the Spirit are as important as the gifts of the Spirit. Remember, the first fruit listed in Galatians 5:22 is what? Love. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Turn over there and look at it. You listening? Galatians 5:22. You'd be looking at 1 Corinthians 5:22 all day long. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit, notice it said, is love. Now I'm going to stop. Love, what else? Joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is what? No law. Now notice the first one on the list is what? Love. Well, it amazes me that sandwiched between 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter number 14, which regulates the gift of prophecy or speaking in an unknown tongue and interpreting, is love. The greatest motive for operating in the gifts of the Spirit is what? Love. Okay? If it's not of love, it's not of God. Okay? Now, pay attention as we cover the second half of chapter number 6. Let's begin. The principles for effective prophesying. The principle of desire. The principle of proving. The principle of responsibilities, the principle of accountability, and the principle of regulation. Now, tongues and prophecies as a what? As a sign. Go ahead. 1 Corinthians chapter number 14, verses 21 and 22. In the law, it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. And yet, for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign. Tongues are not a sign to us who believe, but signs are to the unbelievers or to those who believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for those of us which believe. Paul states, tongues and prophecy as being signs in this age. Now notice, a sign points to something beyond itself. And signs also reveal what? A destination. It's like when you're headed to Tallahassee, Florida. Aren't you glad when it don't say it's 400 miles away? You listening? Go ahead. These two signs, they are miraculous phenomenon, pointing us to a higher reality, which is beyond ourselves. By using the concept concerning signs, the Apostle Paul conveys unto us the idea that each of these two groups of people was destined for some special consequences. What is the destiny that each of these two signs signify? Number one, tongues is a sign of judgment. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 14, verse number 21, the Apostle Paul is quoting from Isaiah chapter 28, verses 11 and 12. Now, before we get any further, let's read those four verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 21 through 22, and Isaiah chapter 28, verses 11 and 12. In the law, it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. And yet for all of that, they will not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that what? Believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which what? Why? Because prophecy edifies who? The church. Go ahead. Isaiah chapter number 28, verses 11 and 12 says, for with stammering lips and with another tongue will he speak to his people, to whom God said, this is the rest wherewith the weary is caused to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. The reference to the foreign tongue in Isaiah chapter number 28, verses 11 and 12, is that of the Assyrian tongue. Now, you have to remember, a lot of time when you're dealing in the Old Covenant, especially when you're dealing with the prophets, many of the children of Israel were in bondage or slavery to other nations. In this case, this was the Assyrian tongue. Go ahead.
And as a result of their,
of the Assyrians' invasion of Judah. The message warned that was given by the Assyrian tongue was a message of God's judgment upon, notice this term, persistent unbelief. Do you know the church is not able to enter into God's rest because of what? Unbelief. You have to look at Hebrews chapter 4. You see, God said there is a rest that remaineth for the people of God. The gospel that was preached unto those in the old covenant was also preached unto us in the new covenant. Are you listening? But you cannot access it if it's not mixed with what? Faith. Whatever is not of faith is of what? Unbelief. You listening? I mean, if you're not following instruction, it's because you don't believe. It's that simple. Go ahead.
God's offer of rest.
God's offer of rest.
And refreshing.
And God's offer of refreshing
was rejected.
Was rejected.
So consequently,
they had to face the judgment of God.
Likewise,
the New Testament tongue
functions as a sign,
pointing to the destined judgment
that comes to all unbelievers
if they persist in their what? Unbelief. Now turn to St. John chapter number 16, and I'll show you something here. First, St. John 16, verse number 7, Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is what? It is expedient for you that I what? Go away. For if I go what? Not away, the what? The Comforter will not come, but if I depart, I will send him unto you." Now pay attention, here we go. "And when," didn't say if, "and when he is come, he will what? He will reprove the world of sin and of what? Righteousness and of what? Judgment." Now watch what it says. Of sin because what? Of sin because they what? Believe not on me. Do you know when you believe not, that's unbelief. So the sin that the world is being judged for is the sin of unbelief. What unbelief? Not believing on God's perfect sacrifice for sin, which is him clothing himself in flesh and hanging on a tree to shed his blood for the remission of sin. You listening? Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because what? I go to my Father, right? And you see me no more. And of judgment because what? The prince of this world is judged. Y'all see that? Okay, go ahead. Back to the notes.
Every time
someone speaks in tongues,
whether privately
or in the congregation,
it is a sign
pointing towards God's judgment
against
unbelief.
As long as God tarries in his judgment
upon unbelievers, tongues must continue
as a warning sign
of their eternal destiny and their destruction. Why? Because tongues is supernatural. Tongue, you can't speak in tongues apart from the Holy Ghost. You listening? The Bible says, and they were, Acts 2:4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. Here it comes, as the Spirit gave them the utterance. That's why tongues is a sign. You listening? Because to the one that's doing the speaking, they're speaking in a language that is unknown to them. That's what makes it what? Supernatural and a what? Sign. Go ahead.
Number two.
Prophecy as a sign.
Of rest and refreshing.
As a sign of rest and refreshing. If God's people would choose to believe
and become believers by heeding God's voice.
And become believers by taking heed unto God's voice,
they would have
rest and refreshing.
God offers these blessings of rest and refreshing.
God offers these blessings of rest and refreshing through the prophetic word. Those who exercise faith in that prophetic word will inherit rest and refreshing. Thus, the continual operation of the prophetic word within the church is a sign and a promise to those who believe God's progressive blessings will be upon their lives. The prophetic flow is God's sign unto us of another visitation of the times of refreshing, and that progressively God will bring his people into a further rest. Acts 3:19 declares, repent ye. Without repentance, you listening, there can be no refreshing. Thank y'all for your enthusiasm. Why would he start off with repent? You listening? We won't get to the what? Refreshing and the blessing. He say, repent, ye therefore, and be what? Converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from experiencing the presence of the Lord. If all of us are speaking in tongues, if somebody walk in here and all of us are speaking in tongues, the apostles say, won't they think something wrong with us? Are you listening? Well, we all speaking in tongues and nobody saying nothing. You listening? It's like you lost as a goose in a hailstorm with sunglasses. Go ahead. In 1 Corinthians 14:23, Paul states to us an important principle for tongues and its operation within a local assembly. 1 Corinthians 14:23 says, if therefore the whole church become together into one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say unto us that we are mad? Paul exhorts us that tongues must not be used as a medium of communication. If we communicate in tongues to the people present, they will not be able to understand or respond. Thus, the minds of the people will remain what? Unfruitful. Now, it's important because, you know, many of us, when we come together for corporate prayer, you notice corporate prayer is open to who? The church family. Who? The church family. Individuals who are born of the Spirit and filled with the Spirit. You listening? You listening? And so we have a right in that setting, you listening, to pray in tongues. You listening? We are praying in tongues. Do you catch the difference? We're not prophesying. We're praying in a language unknown to us. You listening? We're building up ourselves upon our most holy faith. Thank you for your enthusiasm. You listening? Praying in tongues is important. You listening? But when you have a open setting, you listening? I'm talking about a local assembly. And all of, let's say, outside individuals, people who have no clue what we're doing. You listening? If you're speaking in tongues and nobody's interpreting, you're going to have problems. Thank you for your enthusiasm. And sometimes we get mad, say, what's wrong with them? No, it's not what's wrong with them. It's what's wrong with us. There's a proper use of tongues, and there is a what? improper use of tongues. Tongues is not for a show off, it's for a sign to the unbeliever. But you won't convict him. You listening? If you can't articulate and communicate what the Holy Spirit is saying. Go ahead.
We will need proper communication ability.
We will need proper communication ability to produce corresponding faith actions. We need to find a way
and
a medium of communication
that will enable others
to participate with what is happening
in the service.
Thus, the conclusion is
that tongues are not evil,
nor do tongues need to be what? Forbidden.
But rather,
tongues should not be used
as a medium of what?
Communication. You don't just run up on somebody speaking in tongues. I think you're mad too. Go ahead.
So then, brethren,
what should be the meaning of the communication?
A psalm,
a teaching,
revelation,
a tongue. Here it goes. A tongue with what?
Interpretation.
You know, the scriptures teach us when we come together, every time, every one of us have a what?
Psalm.
It's right there in 1 Corinthians. Chapter 14, you listening? See, because we don't desire spiritual gifts, you know, there's such a thing as singing in the spirit. You understand? Psalms, you know, hymns, you listening? Speaking by revelation. All of this is a part of supernatural activity within the church. Go ahead, daughter.
Thus tongues with interpretation
equals prophecy. Does tongues, that's what it say, huh? Does tongues with interpretation equals prophecy? Now you're going to have to listen right here very carefully. Because, you know, I've been in church a long time. So I want you to go to that information that we went through from moving in the gifts of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit and his gifts. Go ahead.
Prophecy
is the most important
of
the three gifts of inspiration are the speaking gifts. You got it? Remember the other six, you listening? The other six flow through the prophecy gate. You listening? What are the other six? The revelational gifts, the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, and the power gifts, special faith, gifts of healing, working of miracles. These flow through the prophecy gate. Go ahead.
The
reason that prophecy is the most important
is because it takes the other two.
Because it takes the other two
diverse kinds of tongues.
And the interpretation of tongues
to equal prophecy.
Now pay attention to what I'm about to say. When diverse kinds of tongues and interpretation of tongues, these are what? Two of the what? Manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit. There is no pray that I may interpret in between. You hear what I'm saying? When the gift of diverse kinds of tongues and the interpretation of tongues are in manifestation. Many of you have been around Apostle Thompson for many years now. One of the prophecies that he reads concerning his life is when he was in a setting with a Pastor Bill McRae and his wife. And he said that God used them in that manner, diverse kinds of tongues and interpretation of tongues. You listening? They would speak something in tongues, you listening? And the interpretation would come, you listening? And it was right on the spot. They didn't speak in tongues and say, nah, okay, Lord, let me pray that I get what you mean. No, when that gift, diverse kinds of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues is in manifestation, you listening? They are happening almost simultaneously. Does that help you to understand? You listening? Go ahead. Keep reading. Paul says, greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues. Except he what? All right. So greater is he that prophesied than he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, except he what? Interpret. Because prophesying edifies the church, whereas when you speak in tongues, you're only edifying yourself. You listening? But when diverse kinds of tongues and interpretation of tongues are in manifestation, that's equivalent to prophecy. You listening? Are you listening? Yes, you understanding? Okay, go ahead.
Paul infers
that to speak with tongues and to interpret is equivalent to prophecy.
Therefore,
prophecy is really the most important of these. Of the three gifts of inspiration or utterance. In other words, prophecy is speaking what? In a known language, what God wants to communicate or articulate to the people present. You listening? Whereas diverse kinds of tongues and interpretation of tongues requires what? Both to be in operation. You listening? You're not speaking in a known tongue in diverse kinds of tongues. You're speaking in what? An unknown tongue. Therefore, without the interpretation, you listening? You wouldn't have prophecy. Are you listening? Okay, go ahead.
Prophecy is supernatural utterance
in a known tongue. Diverse kinds of tongues is supernatural utterance in a what? Unknown tongue.
And interpretation of tongues
is a supernatural showing forth
of that
which have been what? Said in tongues. Now notice it's not the translation of tongues. You listening? It's the interpretation. You listening? In diverse kinds of tongues and the interpretation of tongues, we are interpreting what the Spirit is saying to the church through the unknown or the diverse kinds of tongues that were spoken. You listening? Therefore, when the interpretation comes, everybody in the church is what? Edified, because they understand what's being presented. Are you listening? I mean, it don't take a Rhodes Scholar. This is not really that complicated. You know, most of us are English-speaking people. Isn't that right? Let somebody come up and start talking to you in Spanish. Right? Because, you know, my wife kind of looks like she, you know, got some of that in her. And so, you know, in our travels, people just walk up to her and just start going off. So we had to teach her. No habla español. You got it? That's all you need to say, honey. You know, they tell us, don't speak English. They do. They just don't want you to know. That's when they get in a wreck. I'm just kidding. Go ahead, daughter.
F, the principle of faith.
See, the principle of faith must be involved when you doing these gifts. Go ahead.
Romans 12 and 6.
Having then gifts
differing according to the grace
that is given to us,
whether prophecy,
let us prophesy
according to the appropriation of faith.
Here we see that gifts differ
according to
the grace that comes from God
and the faith that rises from within the believer to access that grace.
Gifts not only differ
according to the divine
according to the divine enabling of God.
Also according to the level of faith.
But gifts also differ according to the level of faith
developed in that area
of our gifting.
The more understanding
and the more workable knowledge we have
in the area of our giftings,
the more that the gifts will what? Develop.
Grace puts into our lives
the necessary enabling
and
the necessary equipping.
Dealing with all of our fears,
all of our limitations,
and
all of our what? Insufficiencies.
Then
a new level of faith develops
in that area of gifting.
Another way of putting it is the more you practice, are you listening? The more you develop what?
Confidence,
right? The more confidence you have, the more bold you become about. You listening? All right, go ahead.
A greater assurance of God's strength
brings boldness and confidence
to use the gifts.
Faith rises and faith releases
the supernatural enabling
that God has put within us.
So that the needs of others are what?
Met.
This divine grace
that has enabled us
will also impart to others
the grace of God that is flowing through us.
Thus, grace puts into man
and grace gives out
what grace has what?
Put in.
Faith draws God's grace into man
and releases it through the gifts
of the Spirit.
G, the principle of liberty.
Where the Spirit is made,
notice that term.
Where the Spirit is made Lord,
there is liberty.
There's what?
Liberty.
There must be a liberty when functioning in the gifts of the Spirit.
You listening?
You cannot function in the gifts of the Spirit if you are being intimidated.
You have to get rid of intimidation.
See, if God is going to move in our churches by the gifts of the Spirit, we must, number one, have not only a desire, but then we can't be afraid to what?
Function.
Most of the time when the Spirit of God come up on us to function or to move in the area or the arena of prophesying, we become self-conscious.
Thank you.
Is this God
or is this me?
Well, you should know.
Oh, well, gee.
When God's Spirit come up on you, you don't have to ask.
There's that gentle nudging.
You listening?
Moving in the gifts of the Spirit is a flow.
When you're moving in the gifts of the Spirit, you're not trying to draw attention to yourself.
Whenever you're trying to draw attention to yourself, when moving in the gifts of the Spirit, you will quench the Spirit.
You listening?
Because the Holy Spirit is not a show off.
Thank you for your enthusiasm.
This is why so many people, cannot,
let me tell you something.
In churches such as Word of Life,
you listening?
When that Spirit is moving in the house,
see, because apostle also is a prophet,
when you're around him, that Spirit that's upon him will get off on you.
Watch this. If you're properly connected and know how to tap into,
you listening?
When you're around a real prophet, because prophets, we talked about earlier, prophesy on a what?
Regular basis.
You listening?
That's what prophets do.
They prophesy.
They decree unto us in a known language what God is articulating to his church.
Go ahead, daughter. As long as the Holy
As long as the Holy Spirit is moving freely in the spirits of men, the Lordship of Christ will be evidently manifested in and through the gifts. When that freedom for which Christ has set us free is crippled by our body or by our souls, the enemy will capitalize on the work of the flesh to stop the flow of the gift through us. Since gifts use the medium of our spirit, in other words, gifts flow through our spirit because the Holy Spirit resides inside of our born again, recreated human spirits. When the scriptures say, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, he's not just talking about the outer. He's talking about your spirit. You listening? It is the spirit of man that houses the Holy Spirit. And our spirits are where? In these earthen vessels. You listening? Go ahead.
Since gifts use the medium of our spirit
to flow through,
we need to be continuously filled
with the Spirit.
If our hearts are filled
with an abundance of the Spirit,
our mouths will what?
Speak boldly.
H.
The principle of timing.
Finding and waiting for an appropriate
and an appointed time
to speak.
It's vital to successful operation of the gifts of the Spirit. In other words, the leader who is the conductor. You listening? Are you listening? You have to be a strong leader to be conducting because people will try you. You listening? But if you want to maintain the flow of the surface, you listening? It must be, you must have an overseer, oversight. You listening? Go ahead.
Gifts will lose their effectiveness
if used at the what?
Wrong time.
The right time is the appropriate time.
This is when there is a tremendous stirring
within our hearts.
And an urge to speak
rises from within us,
especially after a good time
of praise and worship.
The appointed time
in some churches,
the meetings are structured
in such a way
that a specific time
is allotted or given
for the operation of the gifts of the Spirit.
In other churches,
the gifts of the Spirit are encouraged
whenever the leading of the Holy Spirit
is communicated by the leadership.
The principle of language.
The language that we use in prophecy
is within our jurisdiction.
Since prophecy is expressed through a human vessel,
that person that will express it
will express it in the structure of their language,
capacity,
and their what?
Vocabulary.
Poetry,
pictures,
illustrations,
and parables
can each be employed
depending on what the person chooses
at that moment.
The object of our communication
must be to bring clarity
must be to bring clarity and conviction.
And the consciousness of God.
And the what? Consciousness of God. Number one.
The clarity of the message must be conveyed.
The clarity of the message must be conveyed.
Two.
Convictions of the Holy Spirit must be felt.
And three.
Consciousness of God
must be ushered into the soul.
Now, I want to say this, and before I end this session, that whenever you see prophecy and manifestation, or the inspirational gifts and manifestation, it totally uplifts the surface. You listening? When someone is trying to operate outside of the scopes of these principles, a service can take a nosedive, because you can tell that is someone, we have what we call professional prophesiers. You listening? But they don't have a word. What's important is not to be afraid when the Spirit of God comes upon you to give that word that he's given unto you. Don't be afraid. You listening? Be bold. So that's why praying in the Spirit and developing your innermost being is important to moving in the gifts. Enjoy your evening.